right, let's move back to ordinance items and go to item 725, please.
Amend regulation of lobbying entities and city officials to improve administration, clarify requirements, and auditor duties.
Mr. Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. In the interest of time, I'm going to turn this over to the auditor to tee this up and the election officer for the city. And hopefully we can work through any technical issues. Madam Auditor, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I am City Auditor Mary Hall Caballero, and with me today is Deborah Scroggin from my office. And we are back with a revised proposal to amend City Code Chapter 2.12, which covers lobbyist registration and related activities. We think today's proposal addresses concerns that were raised at the April 13th council meeting and incorporates ideas that emerged in subsequent meetings with you and your staff members. I think we can agree that strengthening the existing code by making it more transparent and easier to follow and enforce is a net benefit for the public. Before I turn it over to Deborah, who's going to walk us through the proposal and highlight any changes, since we were last before you, I'd like to thank you for your willingness to try to achieve consensus on these changes, and also to Commissioner Fish for joining our proposal as a co-sponsor.
Deborah, welcome.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Deborah Scroggin with the City Auditor's Office. I'm going to very briefly review the package of amendments and then highlight the two changes that we've made since last time we were here with this proposal. As a quick reminder, the purpose of these regulations as passed by Council is to preserve the integrity of the decision-making process. We think these amendments, as Mary stated, will help serve the purpose by creating more and higher quality disclosures while providing clarity to the people who are subject to this code. So just to jump in to summarize the amendments. The first one is to close the lobbying regulation registration loophole. So currently there's only a time-based trigger for the lobbying registration requirements, and this change just adds a financial trigger to that. So if $1,000 or more is spent in a quarter, that would require lobbyist registration and reporting. Secondly, we're proposing to standardize the calendar disclosures. This is part of that check where we have lobbying activity reported by lobbyists and by city officials through their calendars. Unfortunately, there's no information in the code about what the calendars are, what they include, or retention information. So we're providing some basic details about that. So next, we're going to clarify and strengthen the post-employment prohibition section. This is, instead of applying this to all employees like it currently does, we are narrowing this to high-level city officials and breaking this out into categories and making it very clear that we have 1 and 2 year cooling off periods. So finally, and probably most importantly, we want to create meaningful enforcement mechanisms. So this section increases the maximum penalty from $500 to $3,000, which is closer in line with other jurisdictions that have similar programs. It also allows us to cover costs related to enforcement and seek attorney's fees if that's appropriate. So I'll just jump into what we've done since the last time we were here, the very specific changes, and those all focus on the city official side. So everything else remained the same from the last time that we were here. The first one is with 2.12.070D, which is the calendar disclosure section. So after some additional discussions with you all and your staff, we did tweak this section a bit by paring down extraneous details of the calendar and just focusing on the who and the when. So unless otherwise exempted, if business includes city officials or outside parties, the focus is on when the activity occurred and who those primary participants were. The next thing we focused on is this post-employment prohibition section, and we honed in on the staff section that seemed to be the most concern. That's 2.12.080B. So in this section, we revised the elected official staff down to a one-year prohibition, and we made it applicable to salaried staff only, so hourly staff would be exempted. The other sections under this for elected officials and city directors will remain at 2 years under our proposal. So that's all I have for the summary, but if you have any questions, we can go into those details.
I have a question and a comment. I appreciate the work you're trying to do to standardize the calendar requirements. We're a notoriously independent group of people, and we have different approaches to how we do our calendars.
Yeah.
The effective date of this, I believe, is September.
Yes.
Coinciding with the other changes the council has adopted. And perhaps, and I'm not trying to create more work, but perhaps we could have an informal consultation process between now and then with each office, just to sort of create, with the hope of creating either a template or some sort of baseline expectations. We've begun that conversation in our office. Obviously, with the existing technology, there are different ways you could do it. Mm-hmm. And I think having sort of a, to the extent possible, a template or sort of just a baseline understanding as we roll this out would be helpful to everybody. And I would hope that we could take advantage of July and August to have those conversations.
Absolutely. Great.
Also, I just want to say that on the changes that you've made, these reflect and respond to comments that you had from my colleagues at the last hearing and follow-up discussion. And I appreciate very much the collaborative way in which you've come back with a revised proposal for our consideration.
Questions? Okay, thank you. Who wants to speak on this item?
I have four people signed up. Mary Ng, Charles Johnson, and artist Laura Vanderlyn.
Okay, again, thanks, folks. Understand that because of time, we're going to limit people now to 2 minutes in order to get through the agenda. So please take no more than 2 minutes each.
Hi, City Council. My name is Mary Ng, and I'm here to speak on Measure 725, the lobbying measure. Just for the public who may not understand what's going on, we have a revolving door to the lobbying world. You can profiteer off your government job as if your $100,000 a year isn't enough. You will be ushered into all kinds of wonderful, lucrative opportunities in lobbying. And thanks to our good city auditor, Ms. Cavallaro, I am so thrilled that we're trying to rein this in a little and kind of tighten it up a bit, because it does give an appearance of impropriety, and we wouldn't want to have an appearance of impropriety in Portland. And my suggestion regarding limiting citizens' speech is that if you don't like your job of being the mayor, or hiding up squirrel shooting, human shooting controversies with your police chief, if you don't like that job, resign. We're perfectly happy and content with you resigning. We can find a mayor who wants to hear from the citizens and who wants to give us our full 3 minutes. You probably don't agree because you might have some special jobs to move on to in the lobbying circuit, which we know about some of your predecessors and what kinds of incredibly lucrative gigs they got. I wish you guys all the greatest financial success in the world. If money's what turns you on, maybe it's justice. Maybe you're ideological. Maybe it's not about the money. Maybe you'll do some fabulous things. I don't think money and justice are incompatible. I think we do have to preserve ourself and our self-worth. But I find this personally morally compromising to be sitting at this table where such an uncritical gaze is given to this kind of scenario. I would expect more of my governance if I were to be electing service persons to provide the service of leadership in this society. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is artist Laura Vanderlyn, and I yield my time.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm glad to see us taking some steps that will... Charles Johnson, thanks. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And I think that it's good that we're taking... even though I've been closely connected with some people who have been very concerned about how money went through CH2M Hill and through Joe Glicker, I think for the most part there's only really one notorious former elected person. There's been some changes under Mr. Fish at the Water Bureau, but I haven't really heard a lot of public outrage about individuals profiteering from a revolving door. And I think that that's because Portland is such a wonderful place that we mostly attract people who want to do real long-term public service rather than go just to cash out in the private sector. Even Mr. Hales, who is one of the people who's come in and out of public life, I don't really think that his prior work with, it escapes me now, but anyway, that things do cross-pollinate, and we just want to make sure that we have a way to discourage people who take advantage of a procedure that's sometimes more there in the federal and especially in the defense industry of working a few years in public service and then getting a tenfold increased paycheck based on the connections they've made. So hopefully this will discourage people of that sort and keep quality public servants. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
Cedric Wilkins.
Come on up, please.
I'm Cedric Wilkins, and I'm thinking about next year becoming a lobbyist and going to Salem, and I think there are bad lobbyists in Salem, like Mark Nelson, who is the number one gun lobbyist and cigarette lobbyist, and I'd like to be a lobbyist for good things like food stamps. For example, food stamps are rationed in some states for farm subsidies. John Kitzhoffer in 2014 widened food stamps. This isn't guaranteed. I have a food stamp card, and there are people on food stamps in Oregon that wouldn't be covered if they were in another state. And so I want to do good things. I also believe I'd like to be a lobbyist for free community colleges. So it's one thing to be homeless and just have shelter, but it's another thing to be fed and also to use your mind and train for some other kind of job. And these are good things. So one shouldn't say that all lobbyists are bad. Some lobbyists are good, and that's all I'm going to say. And I need to study the rules. Like, for example, maybe because I'm a recipient of food stamps, I can't lobby for food stamps. So I don't know about that sort of thing. So that's what I want to look into. And I have learned a lot here at City Council. Contrary to Joel Walsh, I don't bash you people. I mean, Mayor Hales, next year you have to find another job. I mean, it's hard to get elected to be a public official. I mean, there are people who have lost. Deborah Cafori was here, but she, Francesconi lost the election, and it cost people who supported him a bunch of money. It's hard to get an elected official. I don't bash you people at all. I mean, if I was an elected official, I'd have ulcers all the time, you know, and I'd want to get out of it. And I applaud you people here for making million-dollar decisions for people, you know, and it's hard to balance a budget. So
thank you, sir. Thanks very much.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. Again, pertaining to the at-will staff, it appears as though you've focused on the salaried staff on your timing, and it's my understanding you're at 2 years after termination. I also want to have the out by the hour staff also included in that. And
it's 1 year for the salary staff. It's been scaled back.
It's been amended from 2 to 1.
So the hourly staff is exempt, and on the salaried staff, it will be a 1 year prohibition.
Okay, that's the amendment, and I'm reading off
2 years applies to elected officials and bureau directors.
Okay, my position, like I say, is on the hour staff. I wanted them also to have that amended for 1 year, my understanding. I honestly didn't have any issues with the commissioners and the mayor on even falling under this lobbying agreement. I think you should have been excluded from it myself. Now, that may catch you off guard, but my position is that more of a concern that I have with the intellectual property could be obtained through working here and transferred for profit. I'm really not that concerned about any of you there. I'm concerned about people coming in on a short-term basis for one reason only, and that's to access information to be utilized at another location or from other individuals. That is my biggest concern, and I think that's being left a little bit open on the people working by the hour staff to have that opportunity. Would they do that to benefit them and make more money? In other areas, that has been proven that that does happen. So, again, my position is to try to tighten that up a little bit and monitor this to where that does not happen. Even if they have to sign agreements, we will not transfer intellectual property rights from the city of Portland upon us leaving. And I think it's left open right now, so I do have concerns.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Anyone else? And this passes to second reading next week. And